for those things that have come before. Our song service, our public prayer, and the preaching that's been done, we're very thankful. We'll draw your attention this morning to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and ask that you pray for us. And I'm going to start reading with verse 31 and read down to the end of the chapter in John chapter 16, where the word of the Lord reads, "Jesus answered them, 'Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.'" The majority of the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of the Gospel according to John is written in red. Now, we of course understand and acknowledge that that doesn't discount the letters in the black. It just identifies who it is that's doing the talking in those three chapters. And that, of course, is Jesus teaching those that are nigh unto Him. And I believe it's important for us to acknowledge that the context of this teaching is in principle part from Jesus to His apostles. Now, I know a lot of you just hear me say that and you say, "But you mean to tell me that Jesus isn't teaching us here?" It's not what I'm saying at all. I believe if you go to places like Matthew chapter 28, turn back with me there just briefly, you'll read the words that are often called the Great Commission. In the last two verses of this chapter, Jesus tells His apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I believe that Jesus is giving that commission unto His apostles. And I believe those apostles passed on the lessons of that commission unto the church and the ministry. If they didn't pass it on to us, then we don't have any authority to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because that's the only place where you're going to read that charge given is right there by Jesus. Jesus gave it to the apostles. The apostles gave it to the church and to the ministry. What you read in John chapter 16 that I've just read to you, I believe it has in context, it is something that Jesus is teaching His apostles. But I don't know about you, but I like to find myself somewhere in a lesson. You know, I never have gathered completely a whole lot of learning from someone who teaches the book of Revelation from a standpoint and saying, see, this has context and this has a lesson unto the churches in the New Testament, but after the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, then these things don't have anything for us. Well, you know, first of all, I believe the book of Revelation was written after the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. But second of all, I think that there's some things in there for me too. I don't think the Lord forgot about this old sinner that was going to live way down in the day. And I don't think He's forgotten about you. I believe that even though these things in principle are taught unto the apostles, I believe that there's some things here we need to know that He was speaking primarily unto them. But that doesn't mean that you and I can't read these verses. And that you and I can't sit back and think whenever Jesus says, do you now believe? Do you believe in the Lord this morning? Do you believe the Lord this morning? Do you, just as the apostles did, whenever you read through, and the apostles were there, the apostles saw the things that we read about that Jesus did. They saw Jesus turn water into wine. Yeah. They saw Him speak unto a Samaritan woman and tell her all things she had ever done. Yeah. They saw Him heal a man lame that couldn't get to the water quick enough whenever the angel had troubled it. They saw this man feed a multitude with two fishes and five loaves of bread. They saw this man walk on water. They saw Him raise the dead. They saw Him do these things. And He asked them, do you now believe?
Yeah.
Because I want to tell you, they didn't always believe.
No.
Some people say too, but sure, they were called into service by the Son of God Himself. Too, but sure, they believed from the time that they were called. You won't find that in this book. You find them encouraging Him to do certain things because they still had doubt. You know, I'm thankful that I don't stand up here before you this morning and tell you that if you have doubt, oh, you need to remove that doubt, because that doubt could be evidence that you're not blood-bought child of God. No, I'm not going to tell you that. Some of the strongest pilgrims in this book had doubt from time to time.
Yeah.
They needed to have some assurance and some solidarity from above to be able to have that confidence within them that what they were doing was of the Lord and called by God to do the things they were doing. And what He's telling them, He's wanting them to meditate. Do you now believe? Do you believe these things? You know, I want to ask you this morning the same thing that Jesus admonished whenever He spoke unto Thomas. He said, blessed are thou because you saw and believed, but oh, blessed are they that see not but yet believe. You and I have not been able to see the things that they saw, but I want to tell you, there's still something within us that says, surely this man is indeed the Son of God. Surely indeed He's my Savior. Surely indeed He's the one who says, He's the one who is everything that He says He was. Do you now believe? Do you believe? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe those things? I'll tell you, little Lamb of God, if you believe those things this morning, it's not because you just woke up and said, I want to believe. It's because you have been given something that has made you capable of believing, which is the Spirit of the living God. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, if you believe this morning, you keep believing. You keep following. You don't just believe in Him, you believe Him. You know, there's a difference in believing in Him and believing Him. You know that? There's a difference between those two things.
Yeah.
You can believe in Him. You say, I believe in Jesus.
Sure.
I know a lot of people that believe in Jesus.
Amen.
But whenever you ask them, but do you believe him? That list becomes a little bit shorter than it is those that believe in him. Because I believe that I know a multitude of people who have gathered in a place this morning to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will tell you they believe in him. But whenever I go to certain places in the Bible and I say, do you believe him? Do you believe that whenever he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep? Do you believe him? Because he said he didn't give it. He didn't say he gave it for a goat. He says he gave it for his sheep. Do you believe him, or do you just believe in him? I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, I want you to meditate upon the question that he asked. And that is, do you now believe? Even though he's asking his apostles, he can speak right to our heart. And he can question us and make us meditate and observe and say, do we now believe? I want to tell you, I don't want to hear about the belief that you had. I don't want to hear about the belief that you're going to have one day. I want to ask the same question that Jesus asked. And that is, do you now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him and do you believe him? Because I tell you, there's some things that he gives us after this that if you can't answer that question, yeah, you're going to struggle with some comfort that he's going to give you. Do you now believe? He asked him this. He said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. We're going to get back to this verse in just a second. The first thing we see is Jesus' question. Do you now believe? Second thing you see here in verse 33 is his will. Man, if there's somebody's will that you'd like to know, isn't it God's? Man, what is his will? You know, I can say this with a smile. I trust we can all smile about it. I hope that we're not speaking about our own in this one of these days. Sometimes somebody graduate college, Brother Virgil, they won't go get a job. They'll move back. Just live at home and not work. They'll say, I'm just waiting on the will of God. For the life of me, I can't reconcile that God's will isn't for a man to work.
Yeah.
I believe it is. I believe it is for an able-bodied man to work. Able-bodied woman to work. People say, well, we've got sisters in this church that don't have 8-to-5 paying jobs. Well, you go do what they do and you tell me when you get done if what they're doing is not work. Okay? I believe you and I are going to come to agreement about something whenever you get done doing what they've been doing all day long.
That's right.
Man, it's work. I'm going to tell you, it's the high calling of a homemaker. And it's work. It's work. Amen. God bless him for it. It's work. You know, they sit back and say, I don't know what the will of God is. We know from time to time we go through certain things in this life. Well, maybe we're searching for the will of God in it. But in the midst of it, you better know that our God is a God of peace. And what he tells them is his will for them. It doesn't mean that every step along the way, you're going to have peace in it. But he says this. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. What things? Three chapters worth. Three chapters worth. So we're going to go back to the beginning of 14 and we're going to go line by line through it down here this morning. And we're going to read about things that will bring us peace. You can read about peace regarding glory. You can read about peace regarding the Holy Comforter. You can read about peace regarding I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. And you can read about what kind of peace you can have whenever you stay attached to the vine. And I want to tell you what some peace that is for us that desire to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. To be able to bear it and to be able to stay attached to the true vine. I'm the true vine. Let me get that verse right. I'm the true vine and my Father's a husband. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. Man, what's so important about that? Well, you don't know until you have the chaos in your soul. Sometimes it takes not having something for you to appreciate what you have. Sometimes it's just like David said, that he prayed unto the Lord that the Lord would restore unto him the joy of thy salvation. See, he didn't ask for the Lord to save him again. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, because I didn't realize what I had whenever I had it, but I've lost it and I want it again.
Yeah.
I want that peace again. And he said, these things have I written unto you that you might have peace. What is the will of God? Do you think it's the will of God for us to be troubled in our soul? Doesn't mean that he's not bringing you along the way when you are troubled within it, but I'm going to tell you what the end result is for you to have peace. I believe it's the Lord's will for every blood-bought child of God to have peace in their soul. And I want to tell you, they may not have peace this side of glory, but I want to tell you, there's peace awaits them over on the other side of the river. There's no chaos in glory. No, sir. No, ma'am. No chaos in glory. Our God is a God of order and a God of peace. And just as he spoke unto the sea and he said, peace be still, I want to tell you, he can speak unto the soul of one of his and he can say, peace be still, and peace and order will be restored to their soul. The will of God. See, old Nicholas ain't got a whole lot of peace this morning. He's got a troubled soul. Sometimes the Lord restores order to our soul with his rod. Brings us back into his way and gives us peace with his rod. So is the truth in regards to a child of Adam. Maybe trouble for some time, but the end goal is peace. You have a question, you see his will. You see a promise. Why is it that we need a promise that his will is for us to have peace? Because he's giving you a promise of what this world is going to give you. He says in the next words, he says, in the world, you shall have tribulation. Paul would say over in Romans chapter 8 that I reckon the sufferings of this present time. Don't tell me that a life of service in the Lord is adorned with flowers, skies are blue all the time. It won't line up with what the Bible says plainly, and it won't line up with the experience of the saints. Why would Paul have sufferings? If there ever was a man that said, God's called me and I'm going to do what he's called me to do, it was Paul, right? Surely from the days of him being struck down on the road to Damascus, him having those scales upon his eyes, to leading him unto the house of Ananias, surely that man, he hooked his plow to the ox. And he said, I'm going to turn up some ground in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Surely if service eliminated you from any tribulation, he would have been a man that would have been void of it. He would have never had any of it. But I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, those that live faithful in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer some things in this world. That's because this world is the exact opposite of righteousness. This world is the exact opposite of godliness. And in this world, ye shall have tribulation. You will have trouble in this world. You're going to face things that are tough to be able to go through in this world. There's going to be things that you have to say goodbye to, and there's going to be people that you have to say goodbye to, and it's not easy. You ever lost a loved one, and it'd been easy to say goodbye? I've never heard anybody tell me that whenever they walked out of the room of just having lost a loved one, boy, that was easy. Bring on another one tomorrow today. Bring another loved one that's going to pass and go home to glory tomorrow. You have a hope within you that they're going to wake up on the other side. That doesn't mean it's easy to do. It's hard. There's no other way to put it. It's hard. And those are the sort of things that you have to face. Death is a result of the sin that is within us, and it will come to pass surely upon everyone and say, the Lord return first. It is a trial and tribulation that we've got to face in this world. You shall have tribulation, not only of another one, of ourselves. Man, we don't know what lies ahead between us and death. I know I have a way that I'd like to go. I'd lay my head down in a bed next to my wife, and her the next morning nudge me and Me just be with my Savior. That'd be ideal. You know, I told Brother Edward Cagle when his wife passed away and I saw him go through the pain of it. I told him, I said, you know, I don't know if this is a selfish prayer, but I pray I go for my wife. He said, yeah, brother, be careful about praying that because you don't want to put that on her. It may be the Lord's will for you to carry that burden. I don't know. But that's just ideal for me.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know if that's the way it's going to be. You don't know that's the way it's going to be for you. You don't know what sort of disease and infirmity lies between you and death. In this life, you shall have tribulation. You'll face it.
Yeah.
Face the loss of loved ones. You'll face the challenges of life yourself. You'll have those that you love the most. You'll have them persecute you for righteousness' sake. Jews of the New Testament church, they faced it. Man, did they face it. That's the reason why he's telling them, he's telling these apostles, this is what lies ahead. And he's primarily speaking unto them, but don't you forget, oh, he's got a lesson for you. Oh, yeah, he does. He's got a question for you. Consider whether or not you trust in the Lord and everything he said that he was and that he was going to do. You consider what his will is, and you better listen to this promise. And if you believe in the promises of God, and don't we believe in the promises of God, that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins, from their sins. Let me tell you something. That's a promise from a Savior. That's a covenant-keeping God that never break a promise. He's telling you there, before Jesus was born, she shall bring forth a son. Tells us his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins without fail. Without the loss of one, every one of them will be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise. I want to tell you that old word shall is right here in this verse too. Jesus is telling you something. He's telling you in this life you shall have. You shall have trials, tribulations, trouble. Say, what's the good thing about trouble? I'll tell you what trouble will do if it'll do nothing else. And it ain't that I'm calling for it to come on me. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe that trouble will not make you long for a land with no trouble, then you go through some troubles yourself. You go and you face some, and you tell me whenever you come out over on the other side that while you were in the midst of that trial and tribulation, if you didn't just think about glory a little bit more than you did before you went in it or after you came out of it. I'm going to tell you, I believe that as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope, is that there's some things that we go through that makes us long and desire for that land where we won't face that anymore. He's telling you, it's coming. You're in the midst of it. So, Brother Will, you bring me down. Bringing me down. I ain't done yet. Question, a will, promise, and admonishment. But, oh, the buts of the Bible. Man, if it wasn't for the buts of the Bible. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, after he outlines what we are by nature. After the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. He saved us with a transition. Well, here he just tells us, oh, just we're just going to be overcome with tribulation, and we're going to be swallowed up by it. But be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. What? Jesus lost his mind. High in the world. But be of good cheer. You know, if in the midst of the trials of tribulation, if you just let them swallow you up. Remember the promise that Jesus spoke in Isaiah chapter 43 unto his children. That the waters shall not overflow thee. Man, Y'all please tell people there was a time when Brother Will could quote verses. I'm starting to reach that point in time where all of my older ministers used to tell me, you better remember them now because you're going to get to a point in your life when you can't memorize them anymore. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He said, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. See, if in the midst of the tribulation, all you become focused on is the trial itself, then I believe the waters can overflow you. I believe the fire can burn you up. I believe it. People say, well, why is he saying, if that's going to happen, then man alive, you just brought me down another notch. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't possible for you to be overcome with those things, then he wouldn't tell you of some things you need to do to make sure that you're not overcome with them.
Yeah.
There's some things that we can understand just because of what the Scripture tells us that we need, if it wasn't possible.
Right.
If it wasn't possible for us to be overcome by trials and tribulations, then he wouldn't tell us what we needed to do in the face of them. We would just let him conquer the battle for us. But he tells us, after promising us that this life shall have him, he tells us what we need to do to face him. But be of good cheer. You can muster up a smile, sir. And it's not because you're going to overcome. It's not because you're strong enough to carry it. I'm not. And it doesn't mean that from time to time I'm not hunting somebody to unload mine on top of so that you can help me carry it. But I want to tell you this. Me and you alone can't carry it. This verse is not written so that you and I would focus on ourselves in the midst of the tribulation, so that we would find cheerfulness in ourselves, so that we would rejoice in our strength. But that we would see the declaration in the last part of this verse, and that is that you see the will of God. You see a promise. You see an admonishment, and you see a declaration of what Jesus did. I have overcome the world. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now you know there's still some things that Jesus faced at this point. He's not been crucified. He hasn't died on the cross. He hasn't been resurrected from the grave. He hasn't ascended to seat on the right hand of God. So how can he say I've overcome? I'm going to tell you, Jesus is able to call those things that are not.
Yeah.
As if they are. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That's the reason why in Romans chapter 8 he can say that those who he foreknew, he's predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that they might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We're not in a glorified state yet, but I want to tell you, we serve a God that can call those things that are not as if they are. And it's as good as done in the mind and purpose of God.
Amen, brother.
And whenever it comes to what Jesus has overcome, he's already overcome a lot. He overcame a group of people that tried to wrest his words and tried to trap him every corner he went around and tried to kill him. He just meandered out in the midst of them. Just another day on the job, Brother Virgil. Just another day, he just went on about his way. He comes in and somebody brings to him somebody, and all his apostles, they bring that young man to him that is so sick they can't cast out the devils that's in him, and his daddy's just in sore distress because he can't. Man, he's seen him. He's seen these apostles do healing, but they can't heal this boy. Bring him unto me. I want to tell you what it didn't tell you. It was not a hard day on the job for Jesus to overcome the devil trying to grasp hold of one of his little children. He can do it today just as he did in that day. It's what we see whenever we see an unclean spirit in someone. Whenever you read about an unclean spirit being in one, you're not reading about a child of the devil. What you're reading about is a child of God that is being attacked by the devil, and the Lord is intervening, saying, get out of the way. Get from him. Some people hear me saying, why would the devil attack the devil? I have never, if somebody will answer that question for me, I'll change my view whenever I read about the unclean spirits in Scripture. Why would the devil attack the devil? Even Jesus said in John chapter 12, or Matthew chapter 12, that's silly to even say that. That Beelzebub, that I cast out powers of the devil by the power of Beelzebub.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would the devil cast out the devil? It doesn't make any sense. Why would the devil attack one of his own? He wouldn't. He attacks children of God. But oh, we serve a God that just another day on the job. I've overcome the world. And I want to tell you the reason why we can be of good cheer is because of that declaration that we serve a God that has overcome. He has overcome. Face a challenge in any walk of life that you may face it. And that takes us back to verse 32. You know, he told them, he said, you go your way. You go your way. And they did. Because it was necessary, in accordance with the will of God, that he face what lied ahead of him. He faced it alone. He couldn't face it. Nobody else could face what he faced. He had to face it alone. So he tells them, he says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me. The challenge you may face, you may feel like you're facing it alone. But I want to tell you, there's one who truly faced something alone, but he recognized that there was one with him in the midst of the challenge that he faced. Primarily unto the apostles. But in principle, by the apostles unto us. And when you face something, you'll face it alone. We serve a Savior that knows what loneliness is. Isn't that something? Anything that you face, we serve a Savior that knows what it's like to face the same himself. And he's with you in what you face. And that's the reason why you can be of good cheer. It's the reason why you can consider the question. It's the reason why you can consider the will of God. You can see his promise, but you can receive this admonishment. And I believe you can do it. I believe I can do it. I don't believe that there's anything that I can do that y'all can't do. But I believe we can face it. We can be of good cheer in the midst of it. Not because. You know, it's like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ because I strengthen myself. Isn't that what he says? I can do all things through Christ because I'm just a tough rascal. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? You know, we can say this with a smile, as a preacher said one time. You know, either Paul was, you know, because he never married, he's either completely dedicated to the service of the Lord, or either he was real ugly. We don't know. We won't know until we get over on the other side. Tough rascal. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yeah. Amen.
I heard somebody say one time, see, we can do those things which strengthen us. No, the which is referring to God. And if you don't believe, you can go through several places in the Scripture and you can see God which. It doesn't have to refer to him in the form of a whom in order for it to be referring to God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's the one that can give us strength. He's the one that can give us cheer. And it's not because we're capable of overcoming, because we're not in and of ourselves, but we are through him because he has overcome. He has overcome. Do you now believe? I pray you do. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.